This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You are listening to Failing Forward on Enterprise, the show that discusses failures and how they can sometimes be pivotal for entrepreneurship success. My name is Audrey Raj, and online with me, as usual this Monday morning, is Chief Explorer at Proficio, Renuka Sena. Good morning,
Renuka. Hi, Audrey. Morning.
And joining us on this episode, in conjunction with International Women's Day in March, we have Nadira Yusuf from Kiddo Care. Welcome, Nadira.
Hi, Audrey. Hi, Renu.
So, Renu, we have Nadira on the show with us today, and we're about to talk about micromanagement. Why have you decided to put Nadira on the spot for this episode?
Well, you know, Nadira was actually part of my CGP season one way back in 2010-2011. Subsequent to that, in the past year, I've actually been working with her via Scale Up Malaysia because she's in our cohort two. And with Nadira, the entire time that we've been working with her, she's a woman that does too much. I mean, literally, if you look at her Facebook posts and you look at all of her other social media, she's always doing something. And I have no idea how she has time for all of these things. And then I find out that she goes so deep into her organization that I've made it my mission to actually get her to do less. And so that's why we explored this whole theme of micromanaging and how she needs to actually stop or let go.
Right. So to understand your story better, Nadira, maybe you can tell us a bit about Kiddo Care and what you guys do.
Okay, thanks, Andre. And thanks, Renu. You really did put me on the spot there. well, Kiddo Care is a platform. It's an online platform that basically connects parents with trained Malaysian babysitters for on-demand childcare services. Anytime, anywhere, any location you like. Just have to go to the website, make your booking, specify your requirement, and the babysitter will come straight to you.
So, Audrey, before we go any further, I think, you know, one of the questions that I asked her when we were preparing for this interview was, so why did you start this, Nadira? Was it because you as a single mother and a parent could see all of these problems that people had in childcare? Or was it because you are so passionate about women empowerment? Because that's the other thing that she does, right? She's like the president or like, you know, the country chair for about 3 million different women's organizations.
Now, yeah, I do realize that I do too much.
What did lead to forming Kiddo Care, Nadira?
So I've got my, on the personal side, problems I actually went through as a mother and an entrepreneur. So, you know, the working hours is not fixed. There's a whole lot of responsibilities. I get called even during the weekends, at night, public holidays. And there was this one time when I actually forgotten to pick up my child from the childcare center at 10 p.m. at night. So that was a real, you know, moment. I felt that it was this profound guilt that I couldn't overcome. You know, how could I have forgotten to pick up my child, right? But over and beyond that, you know, I work a lot with other women, you know, professionals, entrepreneurs, you know, mothers. And there were so many, you know, initiatives and effort to empower women, even in my organizations at that time, right? We talk about empowering women, giving them training, starting businesses or whatever it is, right? But these women go through the things I went through. You know, they have concerns on children, their childcare. They have struggled to just balance things out, and not all of them have got the support system that they require, right? So I was pretty lucky because I had my parents, I had my sister also coming in to babysit for my children. But not all women are that lucky, right? So I was kind of like tired of just pushing the agenda and not getting women participate because of the childcare concern. And I wanted to do something about it really badly. You know, just being in organizations and just talking and getting, you know, advocating for the change was taking a bit too long. So I needed change to happen. And the only way for me to, you know, get something done is to create something. So that was how I decided, you know, I'm going to do this. If I was going to, you know, help women, I've got to really walk the talk. So I just dived in and said, you know, let's do this.
And how did you find yourself then doing too much?
I guess, you know, Audrey and Renu, you know, we're women, right? So naturally, we have that power of multitasking, or rather, you know, we want to be in control of a lot of things because everything seems to be so dear to us, right? The house matters, the family matters, the work matters. And you know, starting a business or running it is just like running your own family, right? You want to be involved. You want to see it grow. You don't want things to go wrong.
Of course, it's your baby.
I want to be
right?
sure that, you know, processes go through. So I naturally become, you know, very concerned about everything. And I started micromanaging because I wanted things to be done. I wanted things to be done right. I wanted things to be done fast. So that's when I, you know, I started to do way too much.
So Renu, micromanagement can be considered a management style, but they say that this is a startup sickness and that it doesn't discriminate. But is this more common in your experience working with startups and scale-ups? Is this more common amongst female entrepreneurs?
That's a very interesting question. And it's I did think about it a lot because I didn't want to generalize. And I think, you know, there's two parts to it. So startup sickness, I would say yes, that's true, because most founders start businesses because they are passionate about something, whether it's their tech or the product or the problem that they're solving. And when you do that, it's actually necessary, I think, to be a micromanager. You need to understand everything that you need to know about the business, about the market, about the customer. And so that part of it is gender neutral. I think most startups go through that and most founders do that. But the difference I feel is that with the difference between male founders and female founders is that I feel male founders kind of go deep. They figure out, like, you know, high-level processes and things like that. And they are more willing to let go earlier because they know where they need to prioritize. So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying women don't know how to prioritize. I'm just saying that women are more meticulous. They feel that every aspect of the business needs to be perfect. So this perfectionist type of mentality leads them to want to go, not just go deep, but it's like not just 1A, B, C, but 1A.1, 1A.1.2, you know. So it's like they really go deep, and that's when it becomes really, really difficult to micromanage. And I think to summarize all of that, it's actually going back to what Nadira said. I want things done fast. I want things done right. And the only thing she missed out was I want things done perfectly. And I find that even I had this problem, right? Even I had this problem. So nobody measures up in our eyes because your way is the only way. So it's like, if it's not my way, it's the highway kind of thing, right? So I think that is the difference that I see in the majority of female founders. Now, there is a difference, and I think the perfect combination is when you actually have a male-female, right? So if you have a male founder and a female co-founder, so when you have both, then you get the best of both worlds. You know, I found that when I was doing things on my own, this is where, you know, I would get stuck and I would become the bottleneck. Whereas, you know, when I was with Doc Siva, essentially for him it's like, okay, let's figure this out. Once it's figured out, move on. Figure it out, move on. And so it's the move on and the letting go that I think many founders need to learn how to do, and more so female founders.
Nadira, I want to bring this back to you. When did you realize that you needed to, well, give up and let go? When did that moment of realization hit you?
So during the pandemic, right, last year, the business actually got a lot of traction. So there was a lot of demand, but we were constrained with also, you know, having our carers to move around, and some carers didn't want to go for jobs and things like that. So we were overwhelmed by the demand and inability to supply to that demand. We were serving the frontliners, you know. We were giving discounts to help the frontliners and subsidies to help them get the service and things like that. it's funny because, you know, at the point of us scaling, I felt like breaking. There was just too many things to do. I had to make sure that we had enough carers to serve our customers. I had to make sure that the carers were trained enough because we had to get in more carers. You know, I had to change the way we actually onboard them and train them and certify them to become carers. That's also a whole lot of, you know, ensuring safety and security of both children and carers at the same time. And it was scaling because, you know, we're serving over 30 hospital staff at that moment, right? So we didn't know that we were going to scale that fast. We were not ready. So there was just so much concern of the market, of the quality, of the safety, all that, right? And on top of that, there's also that whole question of what about investment? I had to still, you know, find money. We had to sustain the business and things like that. At that point of time, I felt that, you know, is this all worth it? I'm working more than 24 hours a day. I didn't have enough time for even myself. I didn't have enough sleep. I was worried that I couldn't sleep. You know, I was actually emulating the service in my head. I couldn't cope with my own children who needed help with like online schooling and online classes. You know, I'm a single parent. I had to, you know, make sure that I could also manage the household. So it was really, really difficult for me. And I had friends who were not entrepreneurs, you know, and they were telling me how much they're enjoying their time at home, you know, how much they're enjoying online shopping, putting stuff on Instagram. I didn't have those luxuries at all, right? And then, you know, all these thoughts, right, of like, you know, entrepreneurs being noble people, you're serving people and things like that. But I felt like I was the one needing help. I was the one who actually was crumbling. I couldn't enjoy anything, you know. So at that point of time, passion for my business actually turned out to become something I felt really terrible about because it didn't satisfy me anymore. There was no motivation, right? I felt really hopeless. I felt like I was hitting the brick. I was falling, you know, I was drowning. I didn't know how to pick up. And what's worse was that, Audrey, you know, as an entrepreneur, as the CEO of the company, especially a company that front faces with the customer, right? You know, it is the CEO that people look upon to first. You know, my staff needed to be so sure that the company is okay, that the leader is fine, it's strong, she's got it all together. Our customers have to trust the brand, and the brand then falls back to me. So it was really, really hard, you know, having to build that strength from your own self and project that when you don't have that anymore. It was very difficult because I didn't know who to talk to. You know, I was worried about if I tell people how much I was struggling, will that affect my business then? Will that affect my brand then? You know, how would people perceive us, right? We were scaling. Will that impact it or not? So that was when I really felt that it was not worth it anymore. I wanted to just give up because I didn't feel that satisfaction. I felt that I was the one who was really sacrificing and really struggling. So that was the point when I was, you know, I just hit the wall.
So were then, you on the verge of throwing in the towel when it came to KiddoCare?
Very, very close. I think the towel was down at my knees, almost hitting the ground. You know, I wanted to just give up. But then I realized that, you know, every day I get customers sending us messages on, you know, how we're helping them and they needed that. I felt suddenly so selfish. Yes, I was struggling, correct. But trying to just throw those things away while at the back of, you know, my head, I knew I was helping so many more people who needed help, then I knew I had to do something about it. I couldn't just throw it away. I knew I could fix myself. I just didn't know how to fix because at that point of time, there were just too many areas to fix, right? I just had to, you know, just be real with myself. If I want to continue doing what I was doing and really help people who needed help, so I needed to help myself first. And I thought to myself, hey, I actually have help. I'm just not empowering them. I'm just not trusting them. I'm just not giving them the chance to prove their worth and what they can do. And then I started to talk to my team, you know, and say, hey, guys, you know, I really need you guys to come in and help me. And some of them actually asked me back and said, you know, we're here, we want to help you. Do tell us, you know, what you want us to do. Teach us, you know. So then I realized, hey, you know, I should be giving them more. Because I was a stumbling block then. It couldn't move, you know. Everyone was just waiting for me and I was crumbling. And I felt like, you know, I wasn't doing justice to the organization. I decided to, okay, let's sort this out. So, yeah.
All right. Okay. Sorry to cut you off there, Nadira, but we need to go to a quick commercial break. But when we come back, we will talk about what you had to do to start making those changes. And of course, learning to let go. We're talking about micromanaging today on Failing Forward. We'll be right back after these messages. BFM 89.9.
Breaking Financial Matters, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to Failing Forward. My name is Audrey Raj. Online with me right now, I have Nadira Yusof from KiddoCare as well as Chief Explorer at Proficio, Renuka Sena. Now, Nadira, before the break, you were talking to us about that moment where you realized that you could just no longer do this. You know, you had your hands like an octopus all over the place, trying to keep tabs on the business, at home, and all this happening during a pandemic, and you found that you were drowning. But it came to a point where you realized that, you know, enough is enough. You needed to start empowering your team. So tell us, what were the first steps that you did in order to do this, to start delegating, to start empowering, and to start letting go?
Nadira, if you don't mind, I want to jump in first, because I think that, you know, in order for people to truly understand what we mean by micromanagement, you need to understand Nadira's business, right? So essentially what her business is she selects or finds and trains nannies. She then certifies them and gets them ready to actually become child carers or child minders, right? Now, this is a very important process because you're looking after someone else's child, and she's the one that's kind of endorsing this person that's being sent to your house to look after your child. So you can imagine the weight in terms of credibility, certification, ensuring it's the right person, right? So in doing all of that, essentially think of Nadira as doing A to Z. And then you have on the one hand, you've got the carers, and then you've got to actually do all of the marketing to get the parents to trust you and say, yes, I will book and I will get one of your nannies, so please send them over. So not just I will book, but I will book and I will pay. So you've got to imagine how much of brand building, how much of credibility, how much of trust, and whose face do they see? They see Nadira's face, right? So she's the one that they're trusting. So you've got getting all of the nannies on the one hand, and then you've got giving the parents all of these assurances on the other hand. So now you've got to actually match these two. You've got to find the right nanny for the right family, for the right kid, at the right age, for the right time. And this is the extent of which her business is. Now, in most businesses, you would have different people looking after all of that. And she did have people looking after all of that, but because she had so much a weight on her shoulders in terms of ensuring that she was doing the right thing in sending someone to a parent's house to look after their baby or their child, I don't blame her for actually going as deep as she did. Okay, it's just a matter of, I think what people need to understand is that as a founder, you do have to go that deep because you do actually have to stand by your brand, and people do need to trust you at the end of the day. But her type of business made it even more intensive in that sense, that she needed to go the extra mile, right? So this is what I mean by micromanagement. The difference, I think, with most founders is that at some point in time, you need to let go. And with Nadira, I think that when I was talking to her, a lot of this echoes with me. It really resonates with me because when I found that I was doing too much, I had a team, but at the end of the day, it was just easier to do it myself. faster to do it myself. You know what the outcome is going to be. And training staff to actually think like you, act like you, respond like you is really difficult. You know,
That's almost impossible.
Yeah, exactly. So this is where the learning to let go comes in. So before we understand micromanagement, you know, I thought it was important to understand that.
Right. So Nadira, how did you then take the steps to let go?
So like what Renu said, right? So there are just so many different things that I was looking into, or rather deep diving into my business. And I had to start looking into trusting my staff, but also, you know, to the best that we all can, make sure that they also appreciate those kind of things that matters to me, like, you know, the service quality, the carrier quality, the safety, you know, how you speak to the customers, everything like that has to be in certain style. So then, you know, it was key for us to set up, you know, processes and make sure that processes were in place. Because really, you know, every time I jumped into something and start fixing things or start, you know, just to come in and save things, it was really putting a process. But I guess, you know, because I wanted things to be done very fast and very well, I did forgotten to, you know, actually put the processes in place for others to emulate, right? So then I started to spend time building those processes and training my staff to actually follow those processes. We built scripts, we built, you know, different kind of permutations and things like that. I'm just spending time with them to go through. Basically, you're another Nadira speaking on behalf, right? So once we have the processes in place, it was also looking into, you know, what kind of technology can we use to make sure that we can, you know, do things better, right? So we're a tech company, but really, you know, are we really harnessing the power of tech to be doing that? You know, maybe because we were so much into customer servicing, consumer fronting and service, right? That even though we were a tech company, so it wasn't so much of our priority because the service is, right? So it was everything to us. Then we realized that, you know, we cannot do this without the tech. You know, it has to come in and help us. So when we put in tech into different areas of work, then it started, you know, it works with the process. It started becoming better. And then it comes to the people. So, you know, there are issues that I need to solve myself. I need to start trusting them and empowering them. Yes, they are going to make mistakes. And I had to just learn to accept that. And once they have mistakes, they've done mistakes, I have to be the one to correct them and be okay with that, right? Because many times my staff also saw me as a perfectionist. When they make mistakes, they don't want to come to me because they're afraid, right? So then I started to just let go a bit and say, look, you know, you're bound to make mistakes. I do too, right? So let's fix this together. And when you fix mistakes, it becomes part of the process and you just become better. They become better. They feel better about themselves too. They perform better, right? So yeah, that's how I learned to let go and started putting things in perspective and you know, taking actions to do something about them.
You know, I'm really glad that Nadira actually spoke about those three areas because, you know, this is exactly the sort of thing I think that we as coaches work with all of our founders about, right? It's, you know, how do you codify your people, process and technologies? So literally, it's like having someone shadow Nadira as she does sales, having someone shadow her as she does customer kind of like, you know, pacifying. So it's like someone listening in and taking down like, you know, what are the usual questions people ask and then developing that into an FAQ, say, for example. You know, I actually found that a lot of founders, if they took the time after they started up and they've got their product out and their customers and things like that, if they actually took the time to walk in the shoes of each one of their people, they would see what their staff don't know. Because a lot of the times we know things instinctively, because of all of the experience that we've had, or, you know, working with the customers or understanding it, or maybe even, you know, being in different roles before. But not, there's no two people that's walked the same path. And so what's common sense to one person may not actually be common sense to someone else. And if you walk in the shoes of your team, or you walk through, or you build an entire end-to-end process of, say, customer acquisition, customer delivery, your operations, you will then actually be able to see what aspects of the business need people, process, or technology. And that's actually very, very important.
So Reno, does this apply to entrepreneurs across industries?
Yes, I think so. It's as far as, you know, I can see, it's universal. So I've literally coached companies, say, for example, because as entrepreneurs, most of the time, the founding team, as they grow the team, you tend to wear many hats, right? You literally wear many hats even within an hour. So 1 minute you are, you know, a developer. The next minute you may be doing customer satisfaction. The next minute you are answering a customer support call. So it's like putting on different hats all the time, right? So one of the things I remember working with one of our startups before, and they actually had a team of five, and they were all founders, but they were all doing everything. And one of the key things to think about really is role fit, right? So who's best at doing what area of the business? And that person should be the one to lead the, so do I need people to help me? Do I need technology to help me? Or do I need processes to help me? And then start thinking about how to codify it. And this sometimes can get as literally as mundane as saying that we're all sitting in a, like, you know, 10 by 10 office or co-working space. And if someone's in charge of customer support, and when the phone rings, it's only supposed to be the customer support team that deals with it because they have KPIs around it. Then when the phone rings, I literally had to tell this team, the four of you do not pick up the phone, right? Because that one guy, that's his KPI. He needs to now distill all of the type of questions that people call in and ask into an FAQ, and then translate that to what are the answers that we as a company are happy to talk to our customers about. And when you're ready with that, now you're ready to hire someone and train that person to do it, right? Similarly, if you've got a process where you actually do your sales, right? So in your sales call, you've got several levels of sales. And if you're doing telephone sales, then basically it's like, okay, one person can do the initial call. The follow-up call, at what point in time does it actually get sent to the founder or a manager to actually take on? And if you kind of not think through some of these things, and if you continue to each wear every, you know, multiple hats in an hour, you are going to have to burn out. So it is something that really all entrepreneurs can apply. It is universal in that sense. And I think that it's important that we talked about it. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, I got Nadira to do this. One other thing, Audrey, sorry, you know, as we were talking about this, because talking about Nadira, as she said just now, she's a techie, right? And I actually found it really interesting this time around that in her past business, her focus was almost like 98% on the tech. But in this business, she went and understood the business first before developing the tech. Meaning that, you know, as far as the outside world is concerned, you are a tech company, you look like a tech company, you operate like a tech company, but there was no tech, or at least there was very little tech. And she did that really well because, you know, until I started coaching her, I actually didn't know that she had minimum tech. But this minimum tech is actually something that we really should talk about, you know, like, in a whole episode, because it's what we call minimal viable product, as in you do the bare minimum and then build on that.
All right. I think that is an excellent tease into our next episode. But for now, I'd like to thank Nadira Yusuf from KidoCare for joining us today and our favorite Renuka Sena from Proficio. And for more information on KidoCare, Nadira, where can our listeners go?
Please go to www.kidocare.my.
Yes, and for more information on Proficio or Scale Up Malaysia, Renu, can you give us the websites?
www.proficio.com and www.scaleup.my. But Nadira, don't you want to give all of the BFM listeners some kind of incentive to actually use your services? Because, you know, I know this. Audrey, for one, has got a very young child.
This is live yes. coaching on air, Nadira.
Yes, and I am very happy to actually give out discounted prizes for our service. So all you have to do is, you know, go on, register yourself on our website, make a booking, and just put in discount code BFM21.
BFM21, that is yes. the discount code. So head on over to the KidoCare website. But for now, we're going to have to wrap up this episode. On behalf of Nadira Yusuf of KidoCare and Renuka Sena from Proficio, thank you for listening to another episode of Failing Forward on Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.